Good morning, everyone, and may I declare the meeting open at 9:33. I'd like to start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet, and I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who might be present this morning. Just a reminder about public conduct at meetings for those in the public gallery. All members of the public present at this meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard and interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, and please turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting if you need to take a call. This is prescribed under our standing orders in section 32, and as chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return until such period as a chairperson decides. And this period may include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence, councillors, so I move on to the devotional segment, and it's great pleasure that I ask member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Reverend Jim DeWitt from Redlands Christian Reformed Church, to lead the council in a devotional segment. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mayor Williams and councillors. I just thank you for the, for the invitation and the honour it is to open this meeting and to lead you in this time. I'm here representing the Minister's Fellowship but also the Redlands Christian Reformed Church, and just on behalf of our church I want to say thank you. Thank you to the council workers for the work that they do, but also you councillors and mayor for the work that you do in just making this place what it is, the Redlands. It's a privilege to live in the area, and we thank you for the work that you do. And we know that as elected representatives, you take your privileges and responsibilities seriously. And we want to honour you by saying that we pray for you and that we uphold you in prayer. And we do that because we think it's important. We think it's important that that you know that we have, like you, the best interests of this city at heart. And we know that you do. And we want to make sure that that is what continues. We pray for you as a local church. We pray for you as elected officials with your positions of power and influence, that you deal with that well and that you deal with it in a way that is the best for this city and the best for the residents of this city, and that you'll make, we pray that you'll make right and the best choices. And there's a reason that we do this, and it comes out of a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to a man that he's mentoring, Timothy. He writes to him, and what he writes encourages him in the work that he does, and it's what encourages us in the work that we do as leaders in the church, but also as members of the church. And he writes a letter to him, and in it he says, he writes, "The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well, so that we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Saviour God wants us to live." And so as you do your business, we pray that you do your business well so that we can live well in this city. So let me lead you in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful city that we have the privilege of calling home. I thank you for its natural beauty and for the infrastructure that makes this place so livable. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, the opportunities we have to develop here as we live in this place. We thank you for this council chamber. Lord, this morning we just bring before you in prayer, uphold before you our mayor and our assembled councillors. Lord, we pray that they'll have a joy in the task that they do. Lord, we pray that they'll do that recognising the privilege entrusted to them and that they will do their work well. Lord, we thank you for the work that they do, which is for the well-being of our city. And so we pray that you guide them through the grace of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them with your wise and caring spirit. I pray that they'll be able to set aside issues of disagreement that keep them separate, but together they might best serve the common good of Redlands residents. that they might honour the purpose for which they've been elected. I pray that this meeting will be conducted with a spirit of mutual respect. Lord, I pray for the agenda set before them today. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around this city of Redland. I pray that they'll be fair in their judgments and wise in their actions, so that their decisions will be made with a clear conscience for the betterment and welfare of the people here. Bless their work, we pray this day. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Councillors, on to the next item on the agenda, which is recognition of achievement. And it is with great pride once again that I do acknowledge our team here at Council. Redland City's disaster management plan has received yet another accolade, and this time it's a high commendation at the 2015 Resilient Australia Awards in December. This commendation is the latest in a growing list of awards for Council's disaster preparedness, and another feather in the cap for our wonderful disaster management team headed by Council's Manager of Disaster Planning and Operations, Mike Lolbach. And of course, that includes Mike Tate, Alison Lamb and Rocco Petrillo, with expert assistance from Matt Murray. Council is completely committed to ensuring the Redlands is ready for anything Mother Nature can throw at us at any time. And it's a major part of our preparedness is in fact that disaster management plan. Our plan is recognised across the state as a leading example of effective disaster management, and it recently received a high commendation in the Get Ready Queensland Resilient Australia Awards 2015. As an online interactive resource, the plan was recognised for its ability to create a prepared and resilient community, which means our residents can be completely confident that as a city we have the resources we need to prepare for any emergency. The disaster management plan is a culmination of years of work across council. This plan pulls together intelligence from across the various departments in Council and other agencies such as the Queensland Fire and Emergency Services, Queensland Police, State Emergency Services and the Queensland Ambulance Service. It provides disaster and resilience information specific to all local suburbs, including potential hazards and evacuation points, giving residents all the local information they need to prepare for an emergency in their very own neighbourhood. So while it's great for this plan to be recognised with awards, it's only effective if people actually use it. So once again, I urge all Redlanders to be aware and take the time to have a look at your suburb on this disaster management plan, albeit that we've got through the Christmas break with any major or even minor disaster. It isn't over yet, and clearly this plan is something that you could use all year round. So please familiarise yourself with that online. And of course, for those who haven't got access to electronic media, there's also hard copy plans that have been delivered across the city to key community facilities, such as our libraries, for those who just can't make it to a computer. So once again, with the storm summer season right here, right now, there's no better time to make a disaster plan. Talk to your neighbours, your own disaster plan, that is. Talk to your neighbours and friends and make sure that you're prepared. I'd like to ask Mike and his team to come up here and be presented with their certificate for the commendation. And I might ask Councillor Beard to join me as he co-chairs the local disaster management group here in Redland City.
Or page three.
All right, councillors. Item 5.1 is receipt and confirmation of minutes for the general meeting held on the 9th of December 2015. Can I have a move that be confirmed? Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.2, councillors, special meeting minutes of the 16th and 21st of December. Can I please have a motion for that to be confirmed? Moved, Councillor Beard. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meeting, I believe there are nil. So we'll move on to public participation. Haven't actually been advised of any public participation by writing. I'll just check with the gallery if anyone would like to address council this morning. All right, well then, being none, we'll just move straight forward and on to our petitions and presentations. And I believe we have a couple, councillors, one from Councillor Tolte and one from Councillor Ogilvie. I probably would like Councillor Tolte, if she wouldn't mind first, to bring forward her petition.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition to be presented from the residents of the area around the Epper Park Creek Environmental Reserve and Pathway. It's a petition from residents requesting that plans be stopped to construct access pathways through Epper Park Creek Environmental Reserve and from the north connecting housing developments along Boundary Road. I would propose that the petition is of an operational nature and is to be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. That's her motion. Moved. Seconder, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it further, Councillor Tolte?
No, Madam Mayor. I've spoken with the residents and it's all in hand.
Thank you. So I'll put the motion. Councillors, those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Ogilvie, you have a petition also to present.
Yes, Madam Chair. Just a petition from residents requesting that disabled toilet facilities be constructed at Cleveland Cemetery. I'd like to move that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Move, Councillor Ogilvie. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it further, Councillor
Just Ogilvie? Briefly, Madam Chair, yeah. The petition was put together by Len Taylor, who's with us here today in the gallery. He's got about 100 signatures here, which I think is a fair effort. It's regarding the lack of toilet facilities at the Cleveland Cemetery, and as he pointed out to me when he presented me with the petition, this was seen as an issue when we did a master plan for the Cleveland Cemetery going back 3-4 years ago. Somehow or another, the toilets never came to be funded by this council. We know that we now have a corporate capital and operational advisory committee in council, which is hopefully putting in place some rigour around prioritisation and collecting these sort of master plans and making sure that the right projects are delivered. I think Len has identified what I believe to be a genuine need and a gap in our facilities. Obviously, if you're going to the cemetery and you're going to be grieving and so forth there, it's only reasonable that you should be able to go to the toilet if you need to. It was identified in the toilet paper, the quaintly named Strategic Review of Public Toilets in the Redlands, and I look forward to favourable council consideration in the future.
Thank you, Councillor. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Haven't been advised of any other presentations, councillors. So, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's recently been brought to my attention by a couple of groups in St James Park and also in Aquatic Paradise, the rising incidents over the last couple of summers, but in this most recent one in regards to the biting midgie, which has been causing some real concern for people. Obviously, Council does not spray for that, but I've just asked for those details to be put together from...
Councillor, this is not the part of the agenda where you bring up these sorts of issues. This is a presentation that you might want to make on behalf of your community for someone that's achieved. So you probably need to take that to another part of another agenda. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Order of business, councillors. Number 9 on your agenda. I don't believe there's any request to change the order of business. Being none, just a quick reminder, item 10, material personal interest and conflict of interest. Councillors, you have been reminded of this on numerous occasions in regards to the Local Government Act 2009, and there is a summary of your responsibilities in your agenda. We'll go straight to the business of the meeting, and I'll ask Councillor Edwards to present 11.1.1. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Item 11.1.1. Review of Corporate Policy, Policy 0027, Water Charge Rebate for Home Dialysis Machine Users. I move the Officer's recommendation to review the policy and adopt the amended policy as written.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bolgari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Shortly. A requirement exists for water service providers to ensure that where a residential property requires continued, uninterrupted and unrestricted water supply for dialysis treatment, they are to be given priority identification and at least 48 hours notice of any uninterrupted supply. The service providers in South East Queensland also provide a water rebate on the consumption charges to these special needs customers, and currently there's only 4 dialysis patients in the Redlands that require uninterrupted supply. The amended policy strengthens the head of power by referencing current legislation, extends the rebate to rented properties, amends the calculation of the rebate to a simpler form, requires an application to be made from an administrative perspective, defines the commencement date, retains the requirement for the hospital to confirm eligibility annually, and sets out that the tenant has the water payment responsibility and that the rebate be paid to the property owner and in good faith will be passed back to the tenant. The cost to council for this rebate is very, very small, and I support the recommendation.
Councillor Bolgari, speaker against?
No, I just wanted to ask through you. I asked officers if the state government actually gave us in the bulk water charge any gesture of goodwill as well, and I didn't think they did. And I was wondering if, on behalf of council, if you could write to the state government and ask, because this is a health issue, if the state government could also...
I'll hand over to our acting chief financial officer to respond. She's got an answer for you, I think.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through the chair, thanks for the question, Councillor Bolgari. I am fed back this morning that it really is a gesture of goodwill on behalf of this local government. Similar retail water entities do provide that gesture of goodwill, so there is no possible rebate from a state government. So that's our position from a financial perspective.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Can we actually write to the state government and say, well, can you come on board and help us, you know, with the bulk water reduction for that amount in cost or not?
Oops, sorry.
Doesn't put the whole financial burden onto local councils. The state government's actually accepting some responsibility.
Push the wrong buttons.
I mean, that could apply to numerous parts of our budgeting, including pensioner remissions, etc., where really the state and federal government, you know, don't actually provide the cost of living increases to those pensioners. But I'm happy for the CEO to... Where do you stop? Where do you draw the line, I guess?
Respond. Now, I'll check if I push the right button. Sorry, too many holidays away. Councillor Bolgari, as you'll be aware, we've been very strong advocates to the state government with our concealed leaks policy, which we end up footing the bill for, and we can't actually give our residents that bulk water part. So we've been with the past minister and the current minister advocating to try and do that, but there is no love in there. I will get Gary and Deb to maybe try again. The other part is that now the Bulk Water Authority is a statutory authority that is run by a board who are, in my opinion, struggling to make ends meet with their finances, given the debt that they were saddled with, that I doubt we would have much luck. But we can write off and see again. But, yeah, look, I wouldn't hold much hope, but we can do that, and I'll make sure officers do that, and we'll CC you in on the notes to the two groups.
Well, send it on a nice Valentine's Day card then and give them some love, and maybe we'll get some back.
So back to the dialysis machine rebate. Is there any other comments, councillors? There being none, I'll hand back to Councillor Edwards to sum up.
The only thing I'd like to add is that the amount that's costing council, I think it's probably only about $1,000. So we've got to be very careful that we don't put too many administrative controls and correspondence about it, because that cost in itself outweighs the loss of water. But I support the recommendation.
Councillors, no further discussion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Edwards, the monthly financial reports, 11.1.2.
Item 11.1.2, December 2015 monthly financial reports. I move the officer's recommendation to note the reports.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Over to you, Councillor Edwards.
December's monthly financial reports marks the midway point in our council's annual financial performance and position. The report delivers a continuing consistency in achieving operating surpluses. Every monthly report for this financial year has delivered operating surpluses. For this year to date, we have an operating surplus of $4.01 million. Despite lower revenues from water due to lower consumption than estimated, other areas within council have been able to more than offset this downturn. They include property rating growth, favourable variance in fee revenues, timing of receipt of grants, and favourable variances in materials and services costs. Cash and investments stood at $133.03 million, from which $89.99 million relates to constrained reserves. All KPIs have been met, excluding asset sustainability ratio and the operating performance ratio, which trends in line with our monthly cash balances. Another good set of figures, and I thank the officers for the quality of the information they continue to supply. I support the recommendation.
Any speakers against, councillors? Question, Councillor Boglari.
Thank you. Through you to Gary. Welcome back. On page 3 of 14, I'm reading it that $24 million of our capital works has been delivered. To me, that reads that we've got to deliver nearly $60 million worth of work between now and the end of the year. Is that plausible?
Through you, Madam Mayor. That is normally the case because of the need to gain the various permits, complete the designs. Our capital works program is always slow in the first 6 months of the year, but does ramp up. And if you actually look at the graph projection, we are actually on budget for where we believe we would be at the six-month mark. I'm confident we will deliver our capital works program this year, weather permitting, of course.
So that's a lot of work to be done in the 6 months, that was all, but you're happy with where we're at?
There are some large projects coming up, dredging projects and things of that nature, which are...
I was wondering if it was large amounts.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Just like to probably add to that, obviously having the project management office embedded in the organisation will help make sure that the capital delivery is on time as well, so those things will improve. I just want to take this opportunity as well because we are really sitting in a very, very strong financial position and take this opportunity to once again thank the team at Redland City Council. When you hear about your expenses going down and your revenue going up, it can only mean good things for the future of the city. That financial sustainability is key to maintaining the lifestyle that our residents have become used to. So through the CEO and to all the staff here at Redland City, that the consistent figures that keep coming back each month reflecting in delivering operating surpluses needs to be commended. So thank you, CEO and team, and I'll hand back to Councillor Edwards to sum up.
I think the figures say it all. Nothing further to add.
Councillors, with that I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to 11.2.1, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. No one's raised any issues. It's all in the report.
No other questions, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.2, Councillor Tolte, appeals.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.2, the appeals list as was current at the 13th of January 2016, and I ask that this be noted.
Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's in the report.
We've got an update at this point.
Yeah, councillors, I just wanted to update you. If you remember, we did say that we would write off to Logan City Council around the motor park, if I get the terminology right. Adrenaline Park. We got a letter back from Councillor Mayor Pam Parker just this week saying that they're not... going to be joining with us in any sort of way to assess or lobby towards the Gold Coast City Council. They believe it's far enough away from their residents and that the Gold Coast City Council and the state will provide enough due diligence. So we'll continue through Kim's team to work with Gold Coast to make sure that our residents are not impacted, but just thought I'd update that for you.
I think it's just really important to note that the council is just wanting to ensure those residents have the noise mitigation in place because of the topography of the land. And the due diligence on our side, making sure that happens, is really important to those residents who are on that boundary. So back to you, Councillor Tolte. I think we'll put the motion. Oh, question, Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. Item 10, a resident wrote to us over the break. I'd like an update on where that is.
I haven't got anything at the moment. I'll just see if I can get Andrew, if we can hold that, and we'll get that for you.
Well, can we advise you?
After meeting? The resident asked. I never saw any reply from anybody, so I'm asking the question.
Okay. We'll make sure that General Counsel responds to that question on notice. Yep. Okay. I'll put the motion. If there are no more questions, those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.2.3, Councillor Tolte, the Tourism Accommodation Incentives Funding Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Call councillors' attention to item 11.2.3, which is the Cleveland CBD and Tourism Accommodation Incentives and Additional Funding Report, and I move the officer's recommendation.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is an ongoing program that Council has instituted to encourage the initiation of the CBD development plan and tourism incentives for accommodation across the city. And it's simply officers have been authorised to continue the program for a further period of time, and this is giving them a the ability to do that through a funding limit, I guess is the way to put it.
Speakers against? Question, Councillor Elliott, and then Councillor Boglari.
Thank you. Through you. I agree with having this incentive package, and I was very pleased when we extended the tourism area to include the whole of the city. My question just is, what percentage of the building has to be tourism to actually get the incentive? Because up until now, it's basically been a tourism, the whole one, but the one over the Cleveland Railway Station has about three, I think it is, units for casual occupancy, which could get them in as a tourism. Yeah, but so they would get that anyway, not based on tourism.
I'll ask Kim to respond.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Boglari, that's correct. It is within the CBD. I would have to just confirm that it's within the primary area, which is 100% coverage, and that's for all eligible use. It's not just tourism accommodation.
So, if it was outside the CBD, what... If it was outside the CBD, what percentage would have to be tourism to get the...
It's only the tourism component that can attract the incentive. It's only the tourism outside of the CBD, Cleveland CBD, only the tourism component that can attract the incentive.
So what percentage of the building would have to be tourism to get that?
Well, whatever percentage of their proposal is tourism.
Oh, so they would only get the rebate for that percentage of those... That
correct.
Fee. Okay.
That is correct. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Councillor Elliott.
Yeah, comment. Yeah. Don't have a problem as it's a concession. We're not putting the cash up, really. But the I do have a concern that I think it was 1 out of 11 have actually got off the ground, that we're funding all the applications, but it's not transitioning to the ground yet. And I'm just wondering if we should review this in 6 months' time to see. This was figures from yesterday from the meeting on Wednesday. Wendy, that. We just don't continue down doing the DA concessions and nobody's doing. So we've got applications, approved DAs for Africa and Cleveland. I want to see more tangible stuff on the ground.
I'll have Kim provide that response that she provided on Monday morning to councillors, if that's okay, Kim.
Thank you. Yes, it is correct that only one of the applications that have received the incentive funding have proceeded to get the building permit. There are a couple of others in train, one of which is the subject of an appeal that's currently being negotiated. The other part of the incentive package is the infrastructure component, and to be able to access that, clearly it needs to move forward through the building application stage. So there is that further incentive, and what we are hearing is that the upfront incentive for the fee waiver or reduction is in fact bringing forward applications that may not otherwise have come forward. But it can be quite appropriate to review the package arrangements going forward. The fund runs to the 30th of June 2017, so there is that opportunity.
Can I say, thanks, Kim, the fund runs to the 2017, but this is the funding to bring it up, to take it through there. But I just don't want to say, yes, it's in and nothing we can do. Like, if nothing's happening, why would you continue to just have DAs and we finish in 2 years' time and then we're in the same position again? That's all my concern is. I want something, an incentive that is makes them do it, you know, gives them a real good incentive to do it, not just get your approval, you know, and then flog it off to someone else.
I think the way the package is set up, and happy for it to be reviewed, is that there's two parts to it. The first one is to actually get them to apply, and that is the application incentive. And, of course, the incentive for them to actually build, which is the bigger part of the incentive, frankly, is when they actually complete their works. So I think, you know, there is a bit of making sure we get them up front and then following through to the end. But happy to have it reviewed as we go forward through our budget processes.
Yeah, I'm happy to look 6 months' time or something like that. Just
sure.
Have a look at every 6 months and just see, make sure it's working. Because
we might see a little
bit
more.
It's no use having all the glorious things going on and nothing's actually really going on.
My understanding is the one that has a building permit is a $6 million project roughly, in Alexandra Hills, that will provide a convention centre and 40 short-term accommodation.
Yep.
So those sorts of results will be probably more tangible in 6 months.
Sure, good.
Councillor Elliott and councillors, I've just asked Joyce to put up this one. If you are happy with an amended motion, which reflects that, I'll leave that up to you guys. It needs to be, obviously, by the proposer that officers will provide an update to councillors by June 2016.
I'm happy to move that amended motion, Madam Mayor.
Okay, so are we going to vote on the amendment then, councillor? You're moving an amendment to that motion. Can councillor Dalton do that, being the mover of the motion?
I can't do that.
Amendment? Okay, so move just, by...
Well, how the incentive's going. Is the incentive... You know,
it's just,
we're getting some tangible things on the ground.
It is just simply getting a report back to see how it's going. So it's not anything that's going to necessarily change the current program. So I've got an amendment that we have to vote on. Moved by Councillor Tolte, seconded by Councillor Bishop. I'll vote on that amendment. Councillors, those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. So now we have a motion in front of us, which includes the amended elements. Would you like to sum up? Councillor Totter, is there any further questions, councillors, on that?
Only to say that I think that it should be fully supported, and I think that it will show tangible results over the next 12 months that will be worthwhile.
Thanks, Councillor Totter. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. We have those in favour, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Totter, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Ogilvie, Boglari, Williams, those against, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you. Okay. Item 11.3.1, Councillor Gleeson, would you like to bring forward that motion?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.3.1, which is the Aquatic Paradise Dredging Contract Tender.
Moved by Councillor Gleeson, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Over to you, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to seek Council approval to delegate to the Chief Executive Officer authority to contract with the successful tender of the Aquatic Paradise dredging program. This is a good news day for Aquatic Paradise residents, Madam Mayor. For some time they've had issues with their canals, and certainly those in the larger boats have had to time their entry and exit with the high tides, and they've been fairly restricted. So this is the money is budgeted, it's approved for, and it's a very good day for Aquatic Paradise residents.
Speaker against, councillors? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to acknowledge that having spoken with the Aquatic Paradise Ratepayers Association on this theme, they have every confidence that this delegation go forward. They also actively have a
a panel, then they have members on that panel who are overseeing the decision regarding the contracting. It's a very successful process that's been negotiated with council. So I just think that that's extra scrutiny that the community have, so it's tremendous, and hope it all goes well.
Just add to that, I think the arrangements and the relationship we have with Aquatic Paradise and Rabie Bay ratepayers who have the challenges of the costs that come along with canals, we have actually built a great relationship, and I've made sure at the beginning of this term of council that we had them in the room and they could be part of those processes. It's the first time this council has done that, and I think it's been a great example of how community panels, in fact, in a different way, can be effective, which we're also doing further investigation into. So, albeit that there's still a bit of argy-bargy when you're trying to get the right outcomes, it's been very conciliatory, and I think that's why there's confidence in this particular project being delegated through to the CEO. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Gleeson to sum up, and we'll take the vote.
Nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. What do we miss?
So we just need Councillor Elliott to...
Councillor Elliott, would you mind, and with councillor's indulgence, I was correct in my assumption that Councillor Tolte can't move the amendment, was told otherwise. Would you have any problems, Councillor Elliott, having that amendment under your... Okay, well, councillors, can I just take a poll to see that you're happy with Councillor Elliott to be listed as such? That's unanimous. Is that sufficient for you to be able to change that? Thank you. Luke, sorry.
Councillor Bishop, you can't second it either. Sorry about the fine print of our standing orders. A councillor who proposes or seconds a motion must not propose or second an amendment to the motion. So if we could just get another second, I'd hate the decision to be invalid, Madam Chair.
Councillor Poglari. I should have gone with my instincts. Could I just have an indication that you all support the mover and seconder being altered in the minutes? Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Councillor. So for the minutes, it will read Councillor Elliott and Councillor Boglari moved and seconded the amendment, and the vote was taken, and it wasn't unanimous, it was a 10-1 vote, correct. Councillors, moving on, we've got a couple of mayoral minutes, one of which will probably require us to go into confidential, I think, which has been distributed. So we might move, well, we'll do the one that we can do in the public domain first, which is titled Ingerian Principle to Seek to... Sorry, that's the one. Ingerian Principle... I've got... can you pass me that? I've got... Yeah, I haven't got the right one here. That's the same one. To enter into a lease to purchase agreement with the Lutheran Church of Australia. Have you got that, councillors? I'm just making sure I'm looking for a nod. It was emailed to you this morning. Yeah, well, we've been trying to finalise it with the other party. Yeah, I'll make sure we have a copy. I'll read the motion out to you, councillors, while you're getting that copy distributed. At the general meeting scheduled for Wednesday, 27th of January, I intend to move as follows. The council resolves to enter into a lease to purchase agreement with the Lutheran Church of Australia Queensland District for the council land at Lot 3, situated at 7 John Street, Cleveland, and just delegate authority to the Chief Executive Officer under Section 257 of the Local Government Act to negotiate, make and vary and discharge the lease and sign of all documents in regards to this matter. The background, as you'd be all very, very familiar, I'm pretty sure, the land at 7 John Street, Cleveland, is currently occupied by the Lutheran Church as a childcare open play area. The occupation and use has predated the 2006 Redlands Planning Scheme, and the applicant has sought to formalise their occupation. The land is 656 square metres and zoned open space in the Redlands Planning Scheme, with an acid sulphate and road and rail noise overlay being triggered. The land has not been identified for public land purposes in the Cleveland Master Plan and Cleveland Centre Master Plan 2010 and is considered to be surplus to Council's requirement. The Lutheran Church of Australia Queensland District is the owner of the adjoining land at Lot 9, situated at 27 Waterloo Street, Cleveland, which is currently zoned Major Centre, sub-area MC3. The church has agreed in principle to lease to purchase agreement to acquire the land. The proposed lease will maintain and formalise the current use while whilst managing compliance with the RPS and risk management practices such as insurance. This recommendation complies with all legislative requirements, including the Local Government Regulation 2012 and Council Policy Number 3071, leasing of council land and facilities, which both support leases to community not-for-profit organisations. So, in short, councillors, the Lutheran Church have agreed in principle to acquire the land at 7 John Street so that they can have security of tenure into the future, which will give them opportunities from a financing position as well to do the things that they want to do to forward what they currently use on the adjoining property. Happy to take any questions or have officers to respond. Councillor Elliott?
It's just an entrance, but this is highly irregular because I would have thought we would have had a full report to council. Is it a peppercorn lease? All those sort of things. Is it? Could they just have a permit to occupy if it's an interim thing until they purchase? Is there a contract? When's the contract? We seem to be mopping up all these things from the planning scheme review. I'm prepared to dump in for all the parks in my area into council of Ed's because we seem to be we said we'd wait to the scheme and now we're sort of picking the bits off as we need to rather than doing it as a holus bolus thing. So I'm just saying.
Well, I think
a mayoral miniature. But this is I think this should have been a report to council for consideration. It's not a big rush. We get at it by the next meeting. I think it's the 15th or 16th of February. It's just. I know nothing about it. They're telling me, they're going to lease. How much is the price? That's usually done in confidential.
This is just allowing the officers to go off and do that work, Councillor.
Yeah, but what it says is enter to lease to purchase. Why would you bother going to a lease when a permit to occupy does the same thing? I think it lasts up to 2 years. And you can do the negotiation under that, and it's a simple thing like that.
Well, this was in discussion.
Because that's got to be lodged and costs and things like
that. The Lutheran Church wanted that security of tenure. A permit to occupy doesn't provide that.
Well, what's the purchase time frame?
That's what has to be negotiated. We have to give the officers the authority to go forward and do that. So if you'd like a report brought back, more than happy to add that to
it. What I'm saying is here's a block of land. Finance with one group. Do we just lease? Do we have expressions of interest? I just want to make sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's here, that we're just going to one group rather than the community, if we could say.
Well,
that's all I'm asking.
Under the Act.
A report situation, when we do a workshop, we can talk these things out. Now we're doing it on the run.
Sure.
As I said, I didn't see these. I was working on something else at the 9:15.
Under the Act, you are able to offer for a not-for-profit to go to enter into that sort of agreement. So you don't need to go out for a broader expression of interest.
Are they bearing the cost?
That's to be negotiated. That's why we want the officers to go off and do that, and this gives them the authority to do so. Happy to have a report brought back before it's finalised. That is the intent, and I suppose through the process of looking at the surplus land that was identified in the open space strategy, this one raised its head as a concern for the Lutheran Church community and others that have been part of that, and this is a way of resolving it on their terms and terms that meet the community's expectation.
Okay.
So, Councillor Bishop, question?
Yeah, mine's just a question regarding just the terminology of lease to purchase agreement. I just want to be clear because I'm sure there's a lot of other non-profit organisations that might see that and think there's a window of opportunity for them to purchase land from council. I'm just wanting to find out a clear definition of what a lease to purchase agreement is.
I've got Peter Kelly in the back of the room there, Peter.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit concerned, as Councillor Elliott's mentioned, about what that could open up in the minds of members of the community or members of groups or organisations, non-profits, who see that and think that there's an opportunity to purchase the land. Just, I think it's worthwhile us being clear about that. It's just taken me by surprise to see that, because I know that there are other clubs that would like to purchase land. I just think we need to be clear in policy terms on what that is. We've got a view on that. Should we going to discuss that, debate that?
Well, I'm happy, like I said, to bring back a report if councillors want to see that. But it's not, you know, if a community group wants to purchase land from council, those doors are always open for us to have those discussions. And obviously they have to be able to service that. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just, this has come through at 10 minutes to midnight, which is a little bit of a concern for me, but just the feedback from the community when this was going on, why aren't we just entering into a peppercorn lease into perpetuity? Why are we forcing the church to buy this land?
They came and had chats to us and they want security of tenure. It allows them to do other things financially, improvements, investing in capital and all those sorts of things with security of tenure. So there has been discussion with the Lutheran Church, and they are really grateful to have that security to allow them to do other things.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the St James Kindergarten area, which, for the councillors who aren't aware, was the subject of a significant petition from the community when they found out that the area that was previously... Sorry? Some of you might not have connected the dots and know that it's the St James Kindergarten area, so I'm just pointing that out for you, councillor. I'm sorry for being helpful. Just saying that this was subject of a petition, a very substantial petition from the community, who were alarmed when they saw that the area that was previously zoned for community purposes was zoned for commercial purposes. And, of course, they were deeply suspicious about what that might have meant for them and the future of their kindergarten, because they need that area in order for the kindergarten to be able to operate. It is only understandable and natural that they would seek to come to an arrangement so that they could secure some sort of tenure over that land. They have done it in the past. It's a shame that we had to go kicking and screaming into some sort of arrangement rather than just go through a process straight up in the first place with them to facilitate what is an outstanding community facility. I'm happy to vote for this, but I think that the point that has been made, which is that council laws should be much more aware of what the options are for not only council but for that community group, is understandable. So I understand where Councillor Hewlett is coming from. 10 minutes before a meeting when councillors are doing other things and are busy, only to have it put on you now is not good process. There are other ways of securing tenure other than just leases to purchase and give the community group and the church the certainty that it apparently requires. Really, I think council should be understanding of the underlying value of the land and the sort of terms and options that we are delegating away from our power before a decision is made. So I'll be asking the Mayor to adopt point three. I haven't obviously got the wording, otherwise if I'd had this sort of an hour or two ago, maybe I could have worked on something, but adopt point three that would see this decision come back to council before being finally approved.
Any other comments, councillors? Do you want to work on those words, councillor?
I'm going to move a motion to adjourn the meeting while we work on the words.
Bring back the decision prior to the CEO signing off on it.
Delete dot point two.
I think we need to allow that to stay there to negotiate.
You're giving him the power to discharge the lease and sign the documents.
If you take that part out, you're probably right.
I think if we modify dot point two, Councillor Ogilvie, to take out after negotiate all that's there, allow the Chief Executive Officer under blah, 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 the Local Government Act to negotiate and bring back a report to Council prior to... prior to decision, establishing lease.
You happy with that, Councillor Ogilvie? Okay, so councillors, just quickly to respond. The open space strategy identified land that was surplus to council needs, and this council supported that. Going forward through that process, it was to look at these opportunities that would be able to transfer those sorts of assets into strategic assets in the longer term. We made a conscious effort to go out for community consultation. People in this room put forward their ideas of area that was surplus in their own divisions, and that we would have a genuine consultation, and we would listen to the residents of Redlands and in these areas, and we would not rezone or make any decisions beyond that until we had that feedback. We did exactly that. It was a legitimate and full community consultation through a legislative process of the planning scheme review. Our response has been to react to those concerns, whether individual or broadly, and at the last meeting, general meeting, we listened to the residents of Redlands and we removed that opportunity for the rezoning from the review. We are now listening to the people who made their concerns known to us about St James Kindy or 7 John Street, and I haven't heard any suggestions from councillors around this room in my 12 years here as to how we could better secure tenure for that particular group. If they have the ideas, it would have been great for them to bring them to me so that we could have adjusted and looked at those opportunities moving forward for the St James Kindy. It's there. You'll have an opportunity now to have a look at those documents again. And the St James Kindy and the Lutheran Church have been consulted and unanimously agree that this is a way forward for them into the future. So with that, with the amendment that's been suggested and included...
Councillors, we've just wordsmithed it a little bit more so that it's fairly clear, I think, to get the intent.
Happy? Councillor Elliott, you happy with the change? Oh, no, well, you raised the issue. Okay. So we're dealing with the issues that both you and Councillor Ogilvie have raised in amending the motion. So any further discussion, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Hewlett, Hardman, Ogilvie, Boglari, Williams. Those against, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. Councillors, the next motion that I have, mayoral minute, will probably require us to move into confidential. I'm more than happy to move it to the end of the meeting, councillors, with your indulgence. I move it to change the order of business. Councillor Beard, seconded Councillor Ogilvie. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, so we'll leave that to the end of the agenda. Moving on then, we have 13.1.1, councillors, 61 McMillan Road. Councillor Beard.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that council resolve to, one, rescind clause 2 of the resolution. Oh, it's all up in there. I don't want to read it all, but you can see it on the board. I assume I need a seconder for that motion.
Move Councillor Boglari.
Seconded
Councillor
Boglari.
Seconded Councillor
Boglari,
sorry.
Madam Mayor, this is a slightly different one because it's not a park or a piece of land that's zoned for conservation. I think most of us would be aware that it's a parcel of land that was bought by the previous council in June of 2010 to preserve its environmental integrity. It's zoned for residential development, has a 7-lot subdivision approval. And so the previous council bought it with the intention of redeveloping it to return the money to the environment levy. Up until today, that resolution remains in place. During the planning scheme review, it was suggested that the only way to achieve the redevelopment of the lot and to retain any environmental integrity was to consolidate the development into a smaller footprint on the land. And so the decision was made to put to the community that we rezone it to a higher density and allow the construction of townhouses on the block. Now, you can understand that this particular area of Division 8 is the most vegetated area of all of Division 8. This is the lungs of Division 8, this McMillan Road, Montgomery Park, Pecan Grove Estates. This is the most vegetated part of my division, and so I'm not at all surprised that when this suggestion went out to the local community, they were less than happy. 6 years down the track, I think if it had been done immediately back in 2010, there may have been some capacity to do it, but 6 years down the track, the local community has adopted this piece of land, and I think most of them were very surprised even to find that there was a motion on the books to redevelop it. They thought that council had bought it with the intention of retaining it. And so the community has made their feelings very, very clear to me, and so I move this motion today to allay their fears. I don't want them to be concerned for the next 6 months. It could be 6 or 12 months before we adopt the planning scheme. And so, Madam Mayor, I'm very happy to act on behalf of the local community, who are very clear in their intention that this land should remain in council ownership and it should be rezoned to conservation. The bottom line is that there is no way, there is no possible way to develop this land, retain and to return any money and retain the environmental value. So it was never going to happen. And so I'm very happy to move this motion on behalf of the residents in proximity to this McMillan Road property.
Just to clarify, councillors, that the motion that's been moved and seconded is the one that's on the board with those amendments. Are you aware of that? Well, with what's changed? Just the wording changes. No, that is. I'm just double checking that is the motion that Councillor Beard has moved, and Councillor Boglary, that's the one that you have seconded. It's the same thing. It's just making sure that the technicalities are correct. Agree, councillors? All right.
Just a point of clarification. The terminology does potentially shift in dot point three. Where it says rezone the land, dot point three says give direction during submission review that the land be described. So give direction during the review, so that it's at a later point. Anyway, just an observation.
Councillor Elliott?
Can't.
We can't direct officers to say it's conservation. An officer has to assess the block, and it could be open space. You know, like it's open space or conservation, so, you know, cause I'd love to say, right, I'd like all these blocks conservation, but it's not how it works. An officer should assess it and say that. So I've just got to... I'm happy to support it, but we also... Sorry?
Would zoned for community purposes cover all those things?
No, it doesn't.
No. We don't want it. But also, this brings up the issue of we've jumped... I wouldn't mind on the rescind of the development part, because it's zone, I think, res A. It's res A zoning.
Yeah.
And it has been since 06. But the concern I have is now it still leaves in people's minds this patchwork we're doing, that the block on the corner of Randall Road and Old Cleveland Road East is conservation. It'd be a higher value of conservation.
That one's already been attended to, Murray, in the previous motion of the Mayor's.
Yeah, well, we sort of just did a bit of an out thing. Now we're being specific on a couple of blocks. I'm just concerned that the public picks up that we're just doing a few. What about mine? You know, like, that's my concern.
These were the anomalies.
We set a global statement, Karen, and in December 9th, and I didn't have a problem with that. Now we seem to be coming back, picking the bits up on the side, and it's sort of, I get a bit edgy when we start. We say one thing and then we start picking the bits up. That's the case. This one should have just let go and headed off to the review of the plan. I don't have a problem supporting it, but it just looks like we're picking off bits to put bushfires out where we've made a statement. It doesn't put clarity to the public that we were up front when we said that statement on the December 9th. That's all I'm saying.
Council, this was an anomaly that wasn't able to be included in that broader council position statement that was made through the last motion or the mayoral minute that was brought forward, because it was already zoned Res A and already, as Councillor Beard is... articulated, previous council had also had a motion in place to go forward with developing it. So this is an anomaly in this situation. Any other questions, councillors? There being none, I'll hand back to Councillor Beard.
No, there's nothing more to add, Madam Mayor. This one is the only one that has been, in fact, transferred into the Investment Corporation, and the direction is to transfer it back to Council.
And it was done so prior to, as a result of it, the previous decision. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? It's unanimous, councillors. Thank you. Next motion, 14.1.1, notice of motion by Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is, I'd just like to move the motion as it's put, item 14.1.1, pedestrian and cycleways to connect cities rural areas.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor. This is simply asking for a report from officers to look at the connectivity and the ability for people to have pedestrian access in our rural areas. I have a lot of roads where we have no footpath whatsoever, and I'm not talking urban concrete footpaths, I'm talking in traversable road reserves where you cannot pass. And in some cases there may not be a need to pass, but in other areas we have a high concentration of residents in a relatively small area, and they have no option but to walk on the road and share the bitumen with the cars. So I would like officers to bring a report to look at how that safety can be improved. So that's all this is. It's not asking for funding. It's not allocating work. It's just asking the officers to look at it and have a report ready when basically when the next council comes in to look at budgets and so forth in time as it's appropriate.
Speaker against, Councillor Boglari.
Through you, I asked Councillor Tolte earlier this morning if we could change it to include areas in both urban and rural areas, because I think this issue is across the city. In the northern part of the city, we're having a lot of infill and we're not getting the infrastructure kept up with it, and we've got lots of gaps up there with extremely high density population in areas. So I think if we're going to be reviewing pedestrian and cycleways, we need to have a holistic whole of city on this one, not just the urban areas. So if the open space strategy and the cycleway and pathway strategies need updating to keep up with our population growth in these areas, I'd like a whole city look at it, not just the rural areas, because what I'm finding is that we are doing motions to council like this, and then down the track it comes back, and then all of a sudden, because that work has been done on that area then gets that priority. And this has happened a couple of times now, and the CEO has pointed out to us that, you know, we can have workshops and that on this first before it comes here, and these resolutions actually give a higher priority to this work, and I would like the whole of city approach taken on it, and I'd appreciate and would ask councillors to actually change it to connect our city's urban and rural areas. I think it needs to be done throughout the city.
Can I just get some clarity on some of those comments? Firstly, if you are, and probably it's a question for Kim, through planning, when there is infill development, are we not collecting, either requiring them to build the infrastructure if there is infill in an urban area, or collecting funds through the priority infrastructure plan to do so?
Where there's a reconfiguration or an accessible development, then the conditions would be imposed requiring the contribution for headworks or external works.
And just the other question, just one minute, just the other question that was raised through Councillor Boglari's statements through to the CEO in regards to the comments that because we get a report back it raises the priority. Could I just get that clarified? Because I would understand that councillors, our priority at capital prioritisation policy would come into play regardless of what reports council sees, and also through our capital 10-year capital budget planning.
That's correct, Madam Mayor. I'm not sure, Councillor, where you were coming from with that, but if there is a Councillor Bulgari, that is, if there is a report required back, that gives the priority to the report. We need to do the motions that are here and act on those. So that will give it a priority over other work for a report. but in the capitalisation, it does, and I can see where you're coming from, Councillor, that having a report and the detailed and the business planning stuff versus other areas which may not have done the work, then through the capitalisation process that we're heading down, that will raise most likely the priority of that because there is a justifiable need and those type of things. So I think that's, if that's what you were meaning, that's where it is. But there is at this stage no, just because we do a report doesn't necessarily get it on the capital program.
Okay, just to address the infrastructure, everyone will admit that the amount of infill that's happened in the northern suburbs, well, Old Cleveland Road East, they've been after a footpath there for 20 years since Jeff Skinner's day. And that footpath still isn't in. I've got areas in Starkey Street that they have been requesting a footpath ever since I got there. I've got into council since 2008. So we have got gaps. I can continue to list the gaps just throughout my division. And I'm sure the other northern councillors can also list their gaps. And Bainbridge Street is a fine example where I once had five large houses on large blocks. Now on each block there are probably up to 20 units on some of them. So we've gone from five families to a possible nearly 100 families in one area, but I can still not get any more play equipment in the local park or some lighting down there to cope for that amount of usage by the locals now in that area. So I have repeatedly been asking for infrastructure in my area, and I have been told the infrastructure is going down south because that's where the large subdivisions are happening and that's where the large contributions are. So that is my point, that up north we have not been keeping up the infrastructure for the amount of infill. And to say that it gives priority to projects when it has a resolution of council. Before Christmas, when I was concerned that we hadn't been discussing the budget and capital works programs to go into the new budget, and I was asking about getting some stuff listed, I was told in an email then that one of the works that are listed are the works that have had a resolution from council. So to me, if we are going to be doing this work, it automatically, like the CEO just said, it gives priority to this work down there. And I think the whole we're supposed to take a whole of city approach. It's under the Local Government Act. So picking out these little areas continually, which I'm seeing.
Councillor, before you continue down that road, you want to articulate and give some real examples of that. I'm going to ask Gary to comment on the footpath program that exists in the urban area that identifies the gaps and how that is delivered.
Thank you, and through you, Madam Mayor. Look, the council has a footpath construction program. Presently, council allocates through its capital works program an amount of money towards that program. That program, the list far exceeds the amount of money allocated every year, and that is a council decision at budget time. If you wish to increase that footpath program, that is the prerogative of the council. And at the present time, based on current funding, I think that list is over 5 years long. And that list continually changes based on the priorities that are put forward. We also have issues with some of our footpaths that to put them in requires substantial removal of substantial footpath vegetation, significant vegetation. And if council wishes to remove that vegetation, we're happy to put those concrete footpaths in, but that becomes a balancing act from there. Similarly with the parks program, as far as the various playground equipment, lighting and whatnot, that is based on the actual category of the park. Council has determined through its open space strategy what will go into those various parks. Once again, council's prerogative to change that strategy if you wish. Also, if you wish to accelerate something forward, council has its own community benefit funds, capital works funds that you get an allocation for each year, which you can accelerate various things. Once again, it's council's prerogative at budget time to allocate those funds accordingly. As officers, we can only deal with the mechanisms and tools that we have at the time.
Councillors, if I could just make an observation as well, and bearing in mind three and a little bit of years in council during that time, I think that, you know, my observations is a lot of the planned developments down the south, and we bring up the Ausbuilds and the Villa Worlds and all those sort of ones, if you look in there, officers do a very good job to negotiate bike pathways, playground embellishments, recreation land as part of the whole subdivision. So what I see down in those sort of areas is that's part of the contributions that they do and the infrastructure they do. They, are, in my 3 years, have been developer-built infrastructure, which we then get through a maintenance period and hand it over. And if you remember the Toondah Harbour discussions just recently around the handovers and those type of things, I think that's probably where there is a little bit of a skewing that's saying these new areas are getting all that. That's all part of the development conditions, and happy for Kim to, if I've overstepped or misrepresented it. But that generally is the way that is happening. So I can wholly understand how with a very large program in our older areas, people are seeing the new parks being built in the new subdivisions and just assuming that council is giving them a priority. But that is the way that the development has been structured, and I can understand why a developer would want to have the latest, greatest parks and cycleways and, you know, embellishments in there, because that will add up the value of their property. So I think council officers do a very good job. You get to see all of those through there. And as Gary said, again, if you would like programs advanced, that means significant ramp up of numbers. Or contractors to build programs at a much accelerated rate, which then comes with a whole range of problems and possibilities on both sides, that if we increase our workforce for a period of time, we then have to redund or reduce those, or we bring up a contractor workforce. But that is something that I would encourage you through the budgeting process to make those. And if you think there is more money that needs to be spent, that's a decision of council, which then flows on to revenue and positions.
Okay, I'm going to bring the debate back to the motion, which is just asking for a report. Councillor Boglari, I'm just going to get some other people to have their 2 cents worth, if that's okay. But this is just asking for a report for council's consideration. It's not committing to any budgets. Future councils will vote on a budget or on a policy about footpaths and look at how much money we actually allocate to or increase for footpaths and roads, etc. So I think Councillor Elliott was first, and then Councillor Beard. I'm just allowing comments at this point in time.
Thanks, Mayor. Just the extent of needed to connect our cities, rural areas. That says to me, are we going up Talty Road? You know, like, are we just connecting the Mount Cotton? Is it just the Mount Cotton houses? Because I've got people on Redland Bay Road that are on rural, you know, like a rural block, and I said, well, there's no footpaths, it's a rural block, and sort of this opens the whole Pandora's box to what is the rural area? Is it going up to, you know, Avalon Road? Well, that's what I said. Well, this is going to be bigger than Ben Hur. Councillor, I'm talking. It's my turn. You can have a go. That's my concern, but this is bigger than Ben Hur. If you open up this box, I can see Councillor Bugger. I got in years ago, and a lot of councillors were asleep. Got all mine done, and they're concrete and they last forever. But that's my concern, is that we're going to draw a plan up for somebody that says, oh, I need a push bike or a walking path from my house, and I live at, Avalon Road runs into Sunso and into Logan, and I want to go to the shops. You know, well, hang on, woo. And I have a concern where we have used gravel and things like that for trial, because the maintenance cost just goes north. And I saw it happen in one of my places, and I said, any new one I do is concrete. 3 metre concrete, they last forever. But that is my concern, that this is a very big Pandora's box we're opening, and it's not just in the rural area, because I'm going to have people in the urban areas saying the same thing. On big blocks, where's my part?
Can I ask officers if there's enough understanding of the motion that's not going to be, the Titanic, to bring back a report that identifies the types of surfaces, etc., that could potentially be and the maintenance costs. I mean, they're the considerations. I appreciate the councillor Elliott's been here a long time and he's seen these sorts of things happen, but a lot of councillors haven't had the opportunity of that information, and it's something that councillors should be aware of.
But I would have thought, and Wendy touched on, that whole bicycle walking strategy and all that for whatever year, it covered the city. It wasn't my division. It covered the city. And I'm not having to go at Julie, but rural areas are rural areas, and you don't, you know, you don't put paths down like that. Maybe in critical, like if it was round in the Mount Cotton precinct, shopping centre, and all that, you know, houses, that'd have a problem. But the cost benefit analysis will be zip. You know, you just cannot afford to fund those whole things. Fine, you can have a look at it. I'll put my hand up and support having a look at it. But you know, the costs are going to be enormous.
I think that's what Councillor Tolte is just asking for, just to have a look at that.
Some of these things tend to take off. You know,
Councillor. I've got Councillor Beard, but CEO, did you want to respond?
Look, in response, Madam Mayor, to your question, is it all rural areas? I would interpret it as that, and I would instruct the officers to have a look at all our rural areas. On that, I think, you know, the current community and economic benefits, you can do a few test case areas, you know, which would then form a template right across, you know, most of the areas in the rural areas. So I don't think it's going to be bigger than Ben Hur. I think it will come fairly quickly to the consideration that, yes, while there's some community and economic benefits, the cost will far outweigh that, and that will be a decision that councillors would need to make. I think the report would come back that it's a very expensive program. It's problematic, I think, as you say, opening Pandora's box throughout the range. But if councillors want that, we can prepare that fairly quickly, and we'll keep it fairly simple, and the report to come back seeking further direction on just how extensive to do it. But on the flip side of that, yes, these things are in the broader strategies around those. This would just give us a little bit more direction to go focusing in on the rural areas in particular at the moment.
Councillor Beard.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm going to support the motion as it is, because I think that there are times when we need to be discriminatory. Of course, we all represent all of the city, but there are times when we need to focus our attention on Simbi, on the tidal areas. Sometimes we need to focus our attention on canal estates, and on this occasion, the councillor representing the rural areas of the city has brought this motion to us, and this is an opportunity to focus our attention on that particular aspect. If we open it up to the whole city, well, waste your time, because it will be then bigger than Ben Hur. But I think this is a reasonable motion, and all the council is asking for is to have a look at it and do a cost-benefit analysis. That's what the report has included.
Yeah, I just need to remind councillors that we already have a report. We already have had investigations into pedestrian and cycleway infrastructure across the whole city. It's called the Pedestrian and Cycling Strategy. It's sitting there. We don't need to review it. It's got a prioritisation model within it. It's economic, social, environmental type criteria. The prioritisation has been done. It is sitting there, and it is in your capital works program. If you don't like the prioritisation or the actual strategy, then by all means ask to review it. But this idea that we're going to bring back a report to do what's already been done, a strategy, that has been universally agreed and voted on and adopted within this council, is, you know, we're wasting officers' time, frankly. You've got a good officer now who's probably working on something quite productive and important, who's going to be taken off the job to write a report on something that has already been done that you can pull off the shelf and see if you want to see it. The best, I mean, if this is an area, and I totally would support councillors investing more money in cycling and pedestrian walk, those sorts of things. I'm chairman of the Redlands Bicycle Advisory Committee. I absolutely support more investment in that. But I can tell you that if you start to look at the prioritisation of pedestrian and cycleways, it's not going to be the rural areas. There's much more built-up areas, much more strategic areas from an economic point of view and community point of view than the rural areas. But I'm happy for us to review that and happy to be part of that. But what we need is a workshop, not a report, because a report is just going to be another static document, a facsimile of what we already have. So if you want to amend that to ask for a workshop on our pedestrian and cycleway strategy, I'll be happy to support it. But as it currently is, it's just a waste of an officer's time doing something that's already been done, and it's not taking us any further in terms of getting our priorities right.
Hand back to you, Councillor Tolte, to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'll invite Councillor Ogilvie to tell the mothers pushing prams up Campbell Road that it's a waste of time as well. We have different areas throughout the city, and quite acceptably, as Councillor Elliott said, there are areas where it's not justified to look at this or to, I should say, to build footpaths. And I'm not asking for anything to be built. I'm not asking for funding to be allocated, and I'm not defining what form any pathway might take. But the residents, as has happened infinitum in the rural areas, sit and wait and receive limited services and pay their rates, while the bulk of the services and the bulk of the consideration goes to the highly urbanised areas. So we have a situation in certain areas in the rural area where we have very long, narrow blocks, and although they are large acreages, they have a lot of front gates on the street. There is a lot of properties on these roads, and there are a lot of people who are attempting to go out in the mornings and walk and push prams, and they have no choice but to walk on the bitumen and share the bitumen with the cars. These are narrow roads. These are hilly roads where there is poor driver visibility, and people cannot walk outside of that bitumen surface. The rocks and the terrain is usually giant stormwater drains, and even a fit person wearing walking or running shoes will fall over or slip over on those surfaces. So I'm simply asking the officers to look and see if there is something that can be done to make those areas traversable and safe for the people who live there. I'm not asking anything beyond that. Thank you.
Councillors, there's been plenty of debate on that. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. So those in favour, I've got Councillor Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Elliott, Edwards, Hardman, Williams, those against, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hewlett, Ogilvie and Boglari. Thank you, councillors. Your next notice of motion, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll call councillors' attention to item 14.1.2, which asks for a general review of the facilities that are available in regard to water-based play areas in surrounding local government areas. And I move the motion as it is put.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've had several contacts from mothers and parents over the Christmas break who have been out through the school holidays visiting other areas. All of the surrounding local government areas have been included in these comments. Morton, Brisbane, Logan, Ipswich. And they're coming back to Redland and seeing the facilities that are in parks for water-based play areas and asking why we don't have that here. So this is just simply asking the officers to commence a small report to review actually what is in those other areas that the people are seeing when they go to visit, and to provide a kind of a review, I guess, from the Rolls-Royce version to the, you know, sprinkler at the end of the garden version, and exactly how these things have come about in these other areas and possibly some implications with regard to what they were able to glean from the cost and the way they were implemented. So I'm just asking for an initial body of work to give councillors some basic information on what's out there, and then council can proceed with that as they choose later on.
Speaker against? Councillor Ogilvie?
Madam Chair, yes, I'm speaking against. I think the point needs to be made right up front that these water-based play areas are incredibly expensive to build, and they are even more expensive to maintain over the longer term. I think what we're missing in this picture, in this conversation, is the fact that we have already one of the best water-based play areas you could hope for in southeast Queensland, and it's called Moreton Bay. We could very easily enhance the Moreton Bay beach areas in the city. Councillors will remember that last year, in March of last year, I asked for a report on shark enclosures. Shark enclosures would give a lot of sense of safety and create play-based, placemaking type opportunities within the city for mothers and their children. I believe that this is what the community has asked for us to do. The Redlands 2030 plan talks about embracing the bay. I think if we don't completely come to an understanding of the presence of the bay in our consciousness and our understanding in terms of the economy and the community and the environment, we're missing out on a great opportunity. We could quite simply and easily just have complete that Raby Bay, well, not that, the shark enclosure report for the city was expected for October of last year, but somewhere along the line it's been delayed. It won't be completed before the election, but I certainly hope that a future council will look on that report as an opportunity to do exactly what you're asking, which is create water-based play areas, and not only look at the opportunity for shark enclosures, but look at opportunities similar to what has been created up at Coolum, the aqua park up there with the blow-ups, slides and that sort of thing, which is just a commercial opportunity. We're also looking for commercial opportunities in our open spaces that has been given to somebody. Is a cheap and very effective way of creating water-based play areas that take advantage of our natural assets rather than trying to create hard stand assets in the middle of our open space areas. I think those kind of water-based play areas would be would be loved and welcomed by the children of the city, the mothers of the city, everyone else in the city too. And I would suggest to you that that's the sort of thing that not only is cheap, easy and effective, but certainly is about the kind of identity we have as a bay-based community.
Councillor Elliott.
I'd like to congratulate or thank Councillor Owen, I mean Candidate Owen, for raising this on Facebook.
This has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I think it has. I think it's got a lot to do. It's given somebody a leg up. I saw a picture here, you know, of a water park, and holy dooly, I'll tell you what, if we think our budget's in place now, that's going to blow it sky high. I agree with Craig. I'll support this. I'm dying to see what the numbers are when this comes back, because these are very, very expensive projects. We gagged on maintenance at the pool, the Cleveland pool. We've got the Lifesaver guys coming, hopefully. That's really good. But I think these things, you want to brace yourself, and I'm sure Gary Suter's bracing himself for this report, if Gary's doing it. These are very, very costly. And high operational costs, and they're something you've got to really, really look at when you do these sort of projects.
I'm not
in favour of a zoo either.
Councillor Boglari.
Through you to Gary, wasn't there a report brought back to us around 2013 on water-based play when we were considering putting something down at Raby Bay, and the costs came back and they were quite phenomenal and we put that one to bed? So wasn't this work basically done? Because I seem to remember we compared prices and ongoing maintenance and that back then in the report.
It was actually a little bit to do with the location, I think, because there was no toilets.
And through you, Madam Mayor, it was a single report in a single location which had some challenges about it. We'll look at the city as a whole.
Hmm. Well, I remember the costings back then on that one, and I totally agree with Councillor Ogilvie. If anyone wants water play, just come down to Wellington Point. Even at low tide, it's quite safe for children walking out to the island. It's free, and there's no ongoing maintenance. And I've got a few intersections I'd like upgraded. on the way to my own natural water park before we put money into this. I'm sure that report... We were all quite horrified from memory about the costings of the ongoing maintenance of them. So I think that we can address water-based play very simply with just doing up maybe a few more activities at our beautiful foreshores, which Brisbane doesn't have, which might be why they have the artificial ones.
They actually do. I think Wynnum Foreshore has a water park as well as a pool, as a wading pool, as well as Moreton Bay.
When was that put in?
Not long ago.
Yeah. And I can remember...
Well, councillors obviously don't get it.
One of our officers here years ago, I can remember sitting down talking to me about the Redcliffe one, because they were on Redcliffe Council when that went in, and they just said the ongoing maintenance of it was phenomenal. So there is a huge cost to these water-based plays at the moment when we're, you know, trying to keep budgets restricted and...
Councillors, if I could respond, yes, there was, exactly as Gary had said there. I think there is merit in actually doing that full investigation. I know I've spoken to the CEO of Brisbane about their two water parks, which is down at Wynnum and also out at, I'm just trying to remember the suburb out near Jindalee or somewhere out there, they have 17 Mile Rocks. The costs for that, yes, it's expensive. Maintenance, yes, it's expensive. The economic boom to Wynnum has just been massive, and that is Colin's view. Colin Jensen, he was of a similar view that this was money wasted, but I think there is some benefit for us to put that to bed because, as we said, we had one very cursory look at. We had a donation from the Redlands Foundation subject to a water play thing. The position that they wanted it at Raby Bay was problematic with discharge, you know, building toilets and all those sort of things, and joint uses. So I think there is some merit, and at least that gives you guys the information to do that. It wouldn't be overly costly to do that because I know the South East Queensland CEOs and the various departments are working together a lot better and will give us access to information. We've been able to facilitate that at an officer level as well as an executive level to do that, so we should be able to gain some of those costs fairly quickly on those to see. But, you know, I don't think it would be an overly thing, but that'll be a decision for you guys to make.
I have Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Edwards.
Yeah, thank you very much. I commend this being brought to Council. It's certainly very topical as a foreshore divisional councillor representing Waterloo Bay. There's a lot of people asking this for this all the time. I commend it being brought forward because I think it's important that we raise the issue, discuss it, and help the community understand why this doesn't naturally occur in Redlands City. Having grown up in Wynnum and had cousins in Redcliffe, commercial waterfront zoning is why the foreshore play placemaking works in Redcliffe and in Wynnum. They have commercial shops right there. It's very Redlands was developed in a very different way, in a very different time. I think that the discussion regarding this should be focused more around commercial partnerships and potentially considering rezoning of certain areas. And I think it's a broader thing than us having a specific look just at this. I think the fact that it's been raised, this is effectively our last meeting before, I think something happens on 19th of March. So it's something that's topical that has a lot of people out there talking, but it's very closely linked to an election that doesn't escape our notice. And I think...
At least it's an idea.
No, I'm absolutely agreeing that it's an idea. Is it a back
to
basics idea?
Can I bring you back, please, to the agenda item? And if you want to speak, you speak through the chair.
Was I saying the wrong thing?
Councillor?
Madam Mayor?
Through the chair.
Yeah, I'm just acknowledging that this is the last meeting that we have.
It's actually not the last meeting. We've got three meetings, Councillor.
Excellent. It's the last one that we knew we had, for sure.
Councillor, if you look at your diary, we have one in February and one in March.
Okay, cool. In terms of water-based play, I agree with what's been said before. As a patron for the Wynnum Redlands Canoe Club, the sort of opportunities that Redlands has is a very different kind of experience to, you know, we've got Wet n Wild to the south, we've got, you know, all those sorts of things. The expectation in the minds of the community as to what these parks need to be has to have a very different cost benefit analysis. It costs an enormous amount. I think even when we were discussing the shark enclosure, it was the cost that scared people most about that, and that's something that certainly doesn't require all the whizzing, whirling, whirligig things that are required, and I think there needs to be a commercial element. So, I think it's worth having a look at, but I think the community really needs to be taken on the journey of how expensive this is and why Redland City should be thought of as a very different way of thinking about water-based play. And we should look at highlighting all of the existing non-profit organisations that we have, kayaking, the opportunity for lots of connections with the bay that don't require such high, costly, ongoing machinery, etc.
We haven't quite got the report yet. So
no, I know, but we just know indicatively that these things do cost an enormous amount.
I've got a few speakers. Most of you have had a natter, so I'm going to go around the room. I've got Councillor Beard. And Councillor Edwards.
Yeah, briefly, Madam Mayor, I'm going to support the motion. I think I need a little bit more specific information than just anecdotally that it's very expensive and very expensive to maintain, as I'm sure it is. But I know that I take my grandkids over to the Wynnum. Now, Wynnum also has Moreton Bay, but they've got no interest in swimming in Moreton Bay. They've got a great interest in playing on those little dolphin things and then climbing the rope ladder thing alongside of it. And occasionally having a swim in the tidal pool, but that doesn't need to be expensive, that little dolphin thing where the water sprays up and they run through it, they love it. And the play gym alongside of it, the rope play gym, would be not expensive at all. And I can think of lots of locations in particular in Division 10, in Thornside and Birkdale, where that sort of thing would be spectacular. And, of course, in Wellington Point as well. So I think let's have a look at it, and if then we can make some informed decisions once we've got the costs.
Thank you. I'm sure I'm not alone that over the past few years I've had a number of residents just comment to me and say, comparing what we've got on our foreshores and play areas, and particularly water-based play areas, compared to other areas in southeast Queensland. And it's very difficult to respond as why we haven't. So for me, being informed is of paramount importance, that if we get this report back, we know how to adequately respond to our residents of why we can or can't do things. And Councillor Beard's correct. There are some very cheap little water-based play areas that could be ideal in some of our areas, and we'd have to make a decision whether we spend more money on other types of facilities in other parts of the city. But I think it's very important that we have an understanding of why we can or why we can't do these water-based play areas, and I think this briefing note and workshop will give us the answers to that.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Look, it's been a lot of talk about how doom and gloom and how expensive it is, and I've got to say, so are our libraries, so is Indigiscapes, so is RPAC, and that services a small percentage of our community in most cases. This may well do too. But you've got young families out there, and we've got thousands of kids in the Redlands that would benefit greatly from it, and I think it's very worthy of at least an investigation, as the notice of motion says, that officers investigate the opportunities, recreational and economic benefits. It's all in the motion. I don't know why the scare tactics are from the opposition, but I'll tell you one thing. It'd be very interesting to find out where the local paper reported this morning, or where they got the information from, that today's meeting was the last general meeting. They've put that on Facebook this morning. It's in our diaries. It's all in our diaries. So I don't know, after Councillor Bishop mentioned it's the last meeting, I don't know where they got that from.
Councillor Hardman?
Yes, just quickly. I'm happy to support this motion as a water-based play area. I think it's a great opportunity. I know we have touched on it a little bit, and the costings were quite high in that workshop. But this is just asking for a briefing and a workshop. It's being compared to, parents taking our kids down to the beaches and foreshore areas and using those. But as a mum of three, I don't think I would take three young kids by myself midweek down to a beach for safety issues, and trying to keep my eye on three kids is just too much. I think this gives parents an opportunity to take their children to a place to cool off during our summers, which are long summers here in Australia, and it's a great opportunity for the parents to be able to do that. So, but this is just asking for an investigation on this. I'm happy to support it.
Councillor Boglow, you've had quite a natter, but a very quick. Well, that's not how that. Well, I've given you quite a bit of latitude in this debate. So, if you keep it short,
Well, my concern with this at the beginning of this discussion was we were going back to what we had thought previously, which was way too expensive. But the conversation has gone around. It's included nature-based play and also a scaled-back model. We're not going back to the things that we've been seeing on Facebook lately. So can I just have clarification that it's not just going to be the big playgrounds, it's also going to be those nature-based plays, and that in it's going to be a broad spectrum, not just those larger ones which are... sorry?
Along with comparative design and water-based play.
Yeah, but does that also include more your natural ones, like upgrading our beaches more than putting in a whole new infrastructure system, that we will also be looking at our beaches and putting things there?
Councillor, I think the motion's just asking for us, for officers, to do some comparative research as Bill's
from
already...
simple right through,
yeah.
Not just the larger ones.
No.
Okay.
No more discussion. No, councillors.
Can I move the motion, Madam Mayor?
Sorry, I've got two motions now being put forward. I've got one that's asking for an amendment. And what was yours, Councillor Gleeson?
Just the put motion, Madam Mayor.
The amendment went first, so Councillor Bishop.
So the proposal for an amendment would be that as part of the water-based play assessment is that we identify the existing groups, organisations in the city that provide that already, and we actually make that as an already existing documentation of what is being provided, just so that we've got a clear idea about what might be our own niche that we might not be able to see because we're looking for the trees in the woods, and we might not be able to see the organisations that are actually already out there doing it.
I'm happy to take
so
the amendment,
would,
but Councillor...
The amendment
the,
would
the
be...
The discussion has really based on us being able to have a comparison of the things that are being done elsewhere in the region. That's what we're asking for.
Yeah,
more than happy for you to bring another motion to Council that looks at what our existing nature water base, but I don't think it's really in line with what Council told you in the discussion today. But if you want to put that amendment, you need to articulate that. Sorry,
Luke,
Bill?
You've got the... Sorry. Madam Mayor, through you. Luke, you've got the standing orders. I think for clarity that this needs to not change the original intent of it. So I think my advice would be you need to check with Councillor Tolte, and if Councillor Bishop, that changes the intent of her motion. I think it's ruled that we can't do an amendment in that nature, and as the Mayor advised, bringing another motion of Council in the next subsequent meetings, or if you can convince Council it's urgent business, you could make one up on the fly.
Okay, so Councillor Tolte, through you, Madam Mayor, to you, would it enhance the... Would it be against the original intent to include the people who are already providing options, organisations
yes.
and groups? Thank you.
The debate and discussion has been primarily around providing this sort of infrastructure, not what's already existing. So I think the intent is slightly different. So if you want to bring your own motion, Councillor, you can be more than welcome to do that. Now, just coming back, have I missed anyone else? Councillor Gleeson, do you still want to progress with your put motion? We have a put motion, councillors. I'll just take a vote. If you support that put motion, those in favour, those against, the motion is lost. put motion, Councillor Gleeson voted in the affirmative. Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Elliott, Edwards, Hewlett, Hardman, Ogilvie, Boglari and Williams voted in the negative. So councillors, I think, you know, in fairness, that this is a topic that's been raised a number of times, and if some of us have been here a long time might recall that there was actually a water park proposal for the Capalabar Regional Park just prior to the drought, which pretty much put the mocker on that particular project. So it's not something new, but it's something certainly the community asks about all the time, and I think Councillor Edwards has summed it up by saying that at least we have the information behind it. And I know that Councillor Gleeson's also talked about the other services that Council provides, and there's other focus groups in our community, such as those who like to watch birds, for example, who have money and maintenance money spent on bird viewing platforms in recent years at Wellington Point, and similarly those who like to attend Norfolk Beach and retain the trees. That money's been spent there. It's a decision of this council, but you need the information to make those decisions. So I don't think there's any harm in council officers having those discussions and doing the research. But look, I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's a few points that have been raised that I'd like to address in my summing up. First of all, and I would not expect Councillor Ogilvie or Councillor Elliott to be aware of the discussions that I've had, because I'm a member of several mothers' groups in the Redlands, and not being mothers, I don't expect you will be a member. So these issues have been raised with me by mothers through the mothers' groups, and my bringing this to council is a result of those discussions with the residents of Redland, and have nothing whatsoever to do with other people's election campaigns, etc. Secondly, Councillor Boglari raised the matter, and I think it's largely been put to bed in relation to the report that came back on the musical fountain bequest at Raby Bay. I don't, and officers raised that when I first raised this motion, that they were concerned that this was somehow implicated with that work that had already been done. But oh, I see it as quite different, and has really nothing whatsoever to do with that. With regard to the scope of the types of areas, before I brought this matter to the officers to ask how they would like to look at a motion, I did my own survey based on the reports. I had mothers sending me photographs of the areas that they visit at Redcliffe, at 17 Mile Rocks, at Ipswich and so forth. And that there is a huge scope, and it literally goes from something that is essentially the equivalent of a sprinkler, which is on a motion sensor, and the kids run through and a bit of water squirts out, and it's literally, you know, one squirt. So it can be quite a small thing. I know that the cost obviously will escalate if you're pooling water, if you're talking about wading pools and treatment plants and all of those things, and that's at the other end of the scale. But the play areas in some instances, like the one that Councillor Beard mentioned, are the equivalent of having a sprinkler turned on at certain times of the day or the year next to a climbing gym, and they're not the big scale water parks that people are mentioning in their, or imagining in their minds. And I'm very pleased we've got so many experts around the room that they automatically assume they know everything and they don't need a report, but I would like to know actually what these things entail and whether it's possible that we might be able to put some of those simpler versions into areas like the Capalabar Regional Park or the Mount Cotton Regional Park. So I hope you'll support it, and I hope you get the work back for the future council to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. There's no further discussion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? It's just amazing how many people spoke against it, but everyone's voting for it. It's wonderful. Your sum up must have worked, Councillor Tolte. The motion... Oh, thank you. The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors.
Point of order, Madam Mayor, if I can. Madam Mayor, during that discussion, it was pointed out by a councillor that this motion was brought into, I think the words were, prop up an election candidate, and
we're calling point of orders now, councillor. I think you might need to just if you want to raise that as an issue of conduct and the standing orders, I suggest that you perhaps raise that with the CEO, and you can do that at any time in this meeting or after the meeting. Thank you. Councillors, we have one other Merrill minute, which is at the end of this. I don't think that was the last of those. No, one more, sorry. 14.1.3. Let's do it again. Councillor Tolte.
That's what happens when you let me have time off over Christmas to think about things, Madam Mayor. Okay. I'd like to call the councillor's attention to item 14.1.3, which is the open space master planning motion as it's put there, and move that we approve that motion as it is there.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Elliott. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors from other areas may not be aware. The councillors from the southern area will be aware of the area around Epiphar Creek, and councillors that were here in the previous term of council will be aware of the Epiphar pathway that was built from the Lakeside Shopping Centre through the back of homes at Ondine Court and Apollo Circuit. There are a number of things happening in the area around the environmental area of the Epiphar Creek, basically from Boundary Road through to the Lakeside Shopping Centre and then back up to the last of the housing estates that come off Bunker Road. These different matters are being progressed and driven by different triggers and different departments of council, and there isn't essentially one overarching document which brings all these concerns together and ensures that all these different people and departments are talking to each other to get the best outcome for the community. So essentially what we have is we have the South East Thornlands Master Plan, which included a pedestrian and cycleway plan. As part of that pedestrian and cycleway plan, it's required that an north-south access point be created through the pathways from the northern side of Epiphar back across to the area of the major shopping centre, and then that will allow residents from that South East Thornlands area to traverse up to schools without going on the main road as much and so on. So we have that matter of the South East Thornlands plan being implemented through planning conditions. We have a review that has gone on for the Luke Street Park through our open space strategy and through the review that was done for the planning scheme. Those things are both happening on the northern side of Epiphar Creek. On the southern side of Epiphar Creek, we have the currently built pathway that was built in 2011, I believe, which is incomplete. It is supposed to be completed, but at this point that hasn't happened. So there is an approval on the books from, I think, around 2011 for the pathway to be completed. The pathway is problematic in that some of the residents are unhappy with it, and there are antisocial behaviours happening which need to be monitored and with police presence and so forth. And then we have the most recent development, which is the removal of the area off... I'm looking for the street name. Lily Rope. To the area from off Lily Rope and Whitbird Circuit, we have a piece of land there which council had proposed to partially rezone through the open space rezoning that was put out to consultation through the planning scheme. With the motion that was unanimously accepted in early December, that is no longer happening. So we have a large parcel of public land there which is now going to be dedicated as part of that parkland interconnected environmental area. And so the purpose of this is to ask all those different departments and officers who have authority to manage these different things to come together and work out an overarching plan which gives us and the residents an idea of what the end game is over the next, say, 10 years and how all of these different considerations are going to come together for the best possible outcome.
Speaker against, councillors? Councillor Hewlett, comment?
It just seems to be, through you, Madam Mayor, a very concise little area that Councillor Talty is talking about between Boundary Road and Bunker Road, which is currently your division, I know, but I mean, shouldn't that be extended across Bunker down to Clay Gully Road and all those areas of that development coming ahead through? This pathway's missing down through those parks. This pathway's missing across the city, as Wendy pointed out before. Why have you just consolidated it in that little area?
Madam Mayor, if I can, I'm not asking for any pathways. That's not what this is about.
What are you asking for?
I'm asking for
master plan, which will include... I get a lot of inquiries from those streets that you've mentioned about
pathways. Councillor Hewlett, through the chair, sorry.
Sorry. I get a lot of inquiries from those particular streets about links, and I have to say the officers have been very good in responding. Jonathan Lamb and the other guys have been exceptional in giving people updates on what they're doing in those areas as far as all those linkages, etc. So Luke Street's we've got a master planned, DA coming to council soon around Luke Street with the Ausbuild extension of Esperance. So there's going to be a lot of talk about what's the developer doing down there as well, because there'll have to be some master planning around.
That's what she's asking for. I think
Madam Mayor, that area is already master planned because it's part of the South East Thornlands plan, and the area the council is talking about incorporates the South East Thornlands plan and the connectivity that is designed through the plan for the walking and cycling trails that are required under the direction of the Minister from the 31st of March 2010. What I'm asking for is that that be taken into consideration, and all of those other considerations that are being triggered across council by different departments all brought together so that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, and the residents know too.
As Craig pointed out before, this is just duplicity. Councillor Hewlett,
through the chair, thank you. I actually think she is trying to address exactly what you're raising by saying she wants it to make sure that all departments understand and can leverage of the work that might be happening within their own budgets or within their own approvals, etc. That's all that she's trying to do.
All I'm saying is I think we're already doing that.
Well, Councillor Tolte has raised it. It's in her division. So if you don't want to support it, Councillor, that's fine.
Speak to the office a little bit more, Julie.
I think. If you want to make personal comments, Councillor, keep it for outside. The Councillor, keep it outside of this chamber, thank you. Councillor, are there any other comments, or Councillors, are there any other comments on this issue? I can see you're all madly interested in what's happening. I will ask Julie to sum up, Councillor Tolte to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The point that I've been trying to raise here is that the implementation of the South East Thornlands Plan is triggered through planning applications and planning conditions. The management of the Luke Street Park area is done under the Open Space Strategy, and the area off Lily Rope Street has to come into the Open Space Strategy because nothing's been happening with that land on the assumption that it would have been redeveloped through the planning changes in zoning. That's no longer going to happen as of December. And we have the continuing difficulties around the pathway that was built through Ondine, behind Ondine Court and Apollo Court, and that's being managed by another area of council. So I'm simply looking for an overall plan of where everyone's on the same page and the residents know what's going to happen and are consulted as each of those things progresses.
Councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Councillors, I just need, we need to move into confidential, but is there any urgent business before we do that? That can be brought at another meeting, Councillor, I think.
If I may, I was going to raise the issue of Biting Midgee, but I've spoken about that offline.
Okay.
It's been sorted.
All right, thank you, Councillors. So can I have a motion that we move into confidential? Move, Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillors. And if I could thank everyone in the public gallery as you leave, and we will await the gallery to be cleared before we discuss the mayoral. Put the mayoral minute to you, Councillors. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillors, and we conclude this meeting at 11:43. Thank you.